We have, because I know you're coming, there's some very valid points there. We do have an event coming up on the 10th of July in London, which, as we get to the break, I'll be reminding everybody, if you haven't bought your tickets already, you really should be coming. Actually, Mike, Saturn and AI aren't coming to that, so you might want to
Well,
suggest.
we are going to it. Yeah, just yeah, we'll just finish that point. It's just cost efficiencies. The last thing I'd mention at that point, the last thing
Mike, that's
is
great,
cost
but
load.
we know. We will have another event to talk about that. Today's event is about platforms, and what advisors want. Daniel's been waiting very patiently. Thank you. If I can come to Daniel.
Thank you. Yeah, it was just two quick things based on what Alex said and also Richard. The ability to get a fund on us as a new small MPS and DFM provider, one of our USPs is finding funds that all the rest of them can't invest in, smaller funds, newer funds. So being able to get one on, and it's incredible seeing some of the power of some of these fund houses trying to get their funds onto the platform. It's quite, it's not funny because you want to get a fund on, but it's really interesting to see. So I think that should certainly, in terms of having the full kit and the tools at your disposal to be able to invest, working with platforms that can add funds on easily makes a big difference. And then the other very quick thing Richard just brought up, I was actually an advisor before I was an investment manager, and we actually used the American Express platform, and it was that could have been amazing. It was brilliant at the time, and I don't know whatever happened to it. They just pulled the plug, and whatever happened to that technology just when it went into the bin. Yeah, but it could have been brilliant.
We're both showing our age by even acknowledging that we can remember the American Express platform because it was a very long time ago, and they came over here for a while, were doing some amazing things, and then suddenly there was a strategic change in direction and they went away. I suppose that raises some other good points about platform selection. How sure can you be that the people that are doing things for you are actually going to be there for the long term? I did say I'd come to Emma Warren, so I hope, Emma, you're able to talk to us at this time. You put some great comments in the chat. Would you like to
Hello.
share them with the rest of the group?
Yeah, hello. So I'll put myself on camera. Yeah, it's just I think it's really difficult because we've got a company that we've bought other companies, so we end up getting platforms that we've never used. So we've ended up with stuff on Fidelity, we've got stuff on James Hay, we've got stuff on AJ Bell, and we're in talks at the moment, and we might end up with some Elevate, which we really don't like at all. And I just wonder what other people do. Do you do like a wholesale thing where you think, actually, we don't use that platform, so we're going to get everybody off that? We've never done that. So I don't know whether other people do like a wholesale change, because we just tend to think if it's not broke, we won't fix it. So if we've got a client that's on Fidelity, for example, it's not expensive, it's got access to whatever the client needs. But really, we don't support it in the new business type of way. Do other people say we're not using that anymore and then wholesale transfer everyone out? We've never done that. And I was interested to see if other people have done that. And they say they only have a small suite of platform, where we've probably got 9 or 10, I would think. But then that brings its own problems where all our administrators and power planners have to know how to use all of those platforms. And they've all got their own little quirks and little things that they do. I did say that I groan when I see Arc because I just find it really difficult to navigate. It's just, to me, it just doesn't make any sense. So I don't know. I suppose,
I think you
perhaps
bring
other
a
people
really
feel the same way about
interesting,
others.
I think you bring a really interesting point in there, and I'd invite if people can put their thoughts initially on that in the chat, I will come to put to people to tease out their various views. I suppose I should do a shout out. There is, in my view, in my no, more than my view, my first-hand experience, nowhere near as much really good technology to help advisors with platform-to-platform switches. I will give a shout out to a great system called Advisor Asset, which if you haven't looked at, I would urge you to go and look at. I know it was just announced the other day that my old friend Mr. Paulson has extended the Landcat system into doing client-to-client comparisons. that gets us into an even bigger issue of the delays taking place actually to do a platform to platform transfer. And for reasons I don't understand, the FCA seem to have lost their appetite to move that forward. I'm going to come to Jane Hodges, who's been waiting very patiently. Then I'm going to come back to Anthony. Then I'm going to come to Sinead, if that's OK. So, Jane, you've had quite a lot to say in the chat. Always an innovator, always looking to do new things. I think you've got some new plans on the horizon. Would you like to share with people what you're doing and primarily why?
Sure. So we always pick platforms that are low cost. We always pick them that are online, and we actively avoid anyone that wants me to send them a piece of paper, because I do not own a printer and I'm not using one. So that's our starting position with just about everything. So we've used some really good platforms in the past. We probably will still use them. We've never found one platform that does everything very well. And so there's always one that does something cheaper, or one that does something for a non-UK resident, or one that does an offshore bond on, and one that doesn't. And there's always reasons. I think we've always thought that we'd find a platform one day that would just be the wrap universe, and we could just stick anything on it and it would all work. And I remember that when we first introduced platforms, by the way, we thought it was going to be this marvelous thing that just everything was going to go on, and we'd never have to go anywhere else, and you'd only ever need one of them, and that just doesn't work. But key for us is that we try and make it easy. We have really low costs as well. So I'm not paying a lot of money to a platform, because I don't charge very much money. Why would I pay them more than I get paid? So the starting positions is we have to find something that is really streamlined, works really well. I never really want to talk to a human being unless it's gone wrong. The rest of it has got to happen just like clockwork and just work. And platforms like AJ Bell and Embark, in the main, I know people have some problems with some of them, but they've been just glorious for us. They've just transformed the way we work and we're able to work. And Transact has been really useful for lots of different things, but they just send you, there's a form for everything. And you're just trying, it might be digital, it doesn't matter. Your client doesn't want to sign 10 forms to be able to set up a plan. They just don't. So they need to do some work as well. But the one thing that we have looked at is, we're little, right? So we don't want our own platform. We don't want the problems of having to manage it, to build it, to integrate it, to do anything like that. And we're never going to be a big business. We're a little one. We just want to be able to use really good systems and make them come together. So we've started with the piloting of the new IO system, which is called WealthLink. And that is launched linking up to HUDwise S&C. So someone here has already talked about that and the benefits of that particular platform. For us, it's all about the fact that we're hoping never to have to pull down a annual report from a platform ever again and have to reload it back into IO. Because if we use this fully integrated system, once it's all the tranches are done and all the upgrades are done, these things are going to happen automatically. It's going to end up in my client's document vault. I'm going to be able to kick off the application from my client in IO. I'm just going to click on a button and say, yeah, please do that one. And it's going to shoot off and do all the things it needs to do. And anything that's needed will go back into my document vault to be shared with my client. It's just going to, so whereas before I've always let clients go to the portal, the platforms themselves, because I don't want to keep downloading annual returns and giving them up on the platform all the time. I want them to be able to go and get where the charges are and see it all themselves. This just crosses that boundary really nicely. And it means that everything they're going to be able to see from IO. And we never let anyone out of IO, by the way. We never accept an email. We never reply on an email. I never pick up the phone. Our IO and the client portal is my be all and end all for communications. So it just works really perfectly for me to be able to make sure that these things are all fully integrated and working. Also, it's a bloody good price. And I don't care what anyone says. Expensive platforms don't give you anything better than cheap ones do. The cheap ones normally have just used technology better, and therefore they're better at doing the basic stuff and don't need so many people around it. And the only thing I would say is, even with those platforms, they do need a good BDM. So just in case, when something's just pear-shaped or gone outside the box, you don't want to be sitting on in a call centre to some less than technical or useful or informative person for 55 minutes only to get the answer that they don't know the answer. You need a BDM. And so some of these, like AJ Bell, have a great BDM around it. I don't need him very often. When I do, he's at the end of my email in 2 minutes or at the end of the phone in 2 seconds, and he just goes and does it. And so everything is just resolved instantly. So is that that's what I'm looking for. And Wealthlink, I think, is going to give me that, because also I'm going to have the IO help desk to be my frontline support. That's where I go anyway for anything to do with my CRM. And they'll now be doing the frontline for Hubwise S and C. And so I only go to Hubwise S, C and C if it goes wrong, and they'll be able to go. And hopefully I'm ickle. IO is massive. So I'm hoping that Hubwise S, S and C will jump like anything every time something gets escalated to them and we need a problem solved. Sorry for those who are using it in a different way, because we're going to nick all of that those people for a short while, I suspect.
Thank you, Jane. Never controversial.
I can draw a breath now.
Never controversial, always quiet and happy to continue as things are. Of course you're not, and we love you because you're always driving change. I'm going to come to Anthony, who's been waiting patiently, then I'm going to come to Sinead.
Actually, I'll defer to Sinead because she's been waiting patiently and I said something. I'll go okay. After Sinead.
Yeah, that's fine. Sinead.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. I'll respond to, I think it was Kate that mentioned about when there's firms bought in that are on other platforms. And I've done a lot of that as a para planner over the years and then as an advisor. What we would do is do it on a case-by-case basis at annual review, because the idea, and I know going back quite a few years, I personally felt when I was running the business that having more platforms was good. And it really wasn't, from the perspective that it just, the process isn't a streamline. Hanging your hat and knowing the platform that you want and having a streamlined process. I always analogize it. If you go into a restaurant and there's 100 things in the menu, you're walking out the door again. There's some really good restaurants and they make the same meals and they make it time and time again. It's really good cooking. It's the ingredients, really. And that's the way I view platforms in terms of, so if you're sitting with a client and there's assets on a Fidelity platform and your main platform is another platform, it's reviewing them on a case-by-case basis, looking at the costs, looking at the performance, not shoehorning, and if it's suitable to move the client, moving them across for efficiency. When I'm managing advisors, the process is much less slick when they're getting consolidated costs and charges off Fidelity, and you're having to all these different touch points that really aren't valuable to the client, because all that stuff that the client doesn't see behind the scenes, having a streamlined process and less platforms means you're focusing on the financial planning, and the financial planning bit is what the client really gets value out of in terms of that. So it is doable. It's easy, I think, to leave it on the other platform, but long term for the business, it just causes more distraction for annual reviews and all that type of thing. Because it is time consuming moving it off, but it's really valuable. And if it is linking through to your back office with the transactions feeding, documents going to Document Hub, as opposed, and that's where I think as a business, you have to look, how long is it going to take me to review that client if it sits on another platform that I don't use and I'm not familiar with? And if there's an hour and a half on there that's going to add no value to the client, then you need to take time out to use that hour and a half to review to see if it fits into your model. And then, but we do it on a client by client basis. It would never be bulk. It would be done at annual review point, the full assessment.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much, Sinead. Let me come to Anthony.
Yeah, thanks. I knew Sinead was going to say a lot of the stuff that I was going to say around that. So thank you for that. There, actually, just a couple of things. I know we work with SS&C Hubwise. Funnily enough, they've got a white paper and a session coming out on this 26th of June, specifically around client migration and asset migration from platform, with some case studies. We were asked to contribute to that together with a few other firms. So just FYI, everyone, that there might be some useful stuff in there. But just continuing on, we're very open about this. And I don't want to get into the whole kind of restricted versus independent thing, because that's a whole other thing. But we're acquisitive. We bought firms. We simply do not want different propositions in different parts of the country for clients who, broadly speaking, have similar objectives, similar risk profiles, and so on and so forth. It just makes absolutely no sense. You can't manage risk sensibly in that way. And so when we acquire a firm, very similar to what Sinead was saying, client by client, we'll analyze, can clients suitably migrate to our CIP, with our three red lines being cost, no tax or penalties, and staying within the same risk parameters. And so coming back to the question that was asked around do you migrate or do you just leave where they are, we absolutely migrate, but only if those three boxes can be ticked. That does mean that inevitably we are still left dealing with some legacy platforms. I think every acquirer is going to have that. But the reality is that we wouldn't buy a business if we couldn't make that migration and it wasn't complementary and sensible for the clients to move and cost effective to do so and suitable to do. But I'm not going to pretend that it's straightforward, because some third party platforms are easier to do with than others, without naming and shaming.
Thanks, Anthony. Mike McGassick's just made a comment in the chat about Wealthlink are the first to integrate. Actually, it's SS&C that are the first to integrate. Wealthlink is the name of the service. My understanding is there will be a couple more, but it'll be a handful. Jane, you're nodding your head. You've clearly had the same brief. I think you might see maybe two more, perhaps a third, if there was an organization that had an enormous amount of, if there was a platform that was closely aligned with an enormous amount of distribution, that might be an exception. But I think that the legacy platform, let's be honest about a lot of this, deep integration could have happened a decade ago. Deep integration, I think most people would say, should have happened a decade ago. And I don't think we'd be seeing these changes happening now, but we are. But can I come back? Actually, Anya, that you've just made a very good point. Would you like to? I think it's interesting to look at Finio's position. Would you like to come in and share your thinking on that?
Yeah, sure. Finio, we use Finio for 7IM. At the moment, they're providing valuation feeds into our back office. And actually, the fact that they can link to so many other providers, if I was betting, and I guess thinking about, you know, how many ways you can integrate, as much as all of our back offices will have APIs available, we often need a bit more than that. It's not straight as simple as just plug and play. So you could see the logic between integrating with a company that does the distribution rather than individual companies. I guess in theory, it's like the tech world of Origo.
Yeah, I think to be fair, Origo and Finio are in the same market. And there are half a dozen others bubbling up. There's a few small startups. There is a huge global one that I'm having a few interesting conversations with at the moment, who, if they choose to come over here, I think could make an enormous difference. When I look at who they've done integrations with in other jurisdictions, it's a little bit of an eye-opener. And these people are literally doing it around the world. And this whole challenge of moving data around is so key to all of this. Actually, David Ogden, you just made a point in there about a raft of mergers, and you were making some other points earlier. Can I invite you to come in and share a bit more of your thinking on this subject overall? And just before you do, I'd love to hear from anybody that's using the more traditional platforms and has decided. The reality is there's an awful lot of money out there with people like Aegon, Aviva, a wide range of platforms, M&G. I'd love to hear from some people that are happy with those systems. Quilt is another one. Got a great amount of market share. I'm hoping we have some Quilter people that will come on and talk about the benefits of their service. But David, if you'd like to share your views on
So I'm representing a DFM, Sparrows Capital, not an IFA. So we don't really choose the platforms that are chosen by the advisors, but clearly we want to be on as many as possible. And so we have one particular frustration. We're on 14 platforms. There's one or two we'd like to be on, but we'll get there, but not quite yet. But the real frustration is in trying to get what we think is a sort of groundbreaking proposition actually facilitated on the platforms, which is the capped fee that we offer. So if you have a portfolio worth £240,000, you pay 20 quid a month and no more on our portfolio. And we think that's very good value, very much in line with Consumer Duty. But there's only three platforms that can currently provide it, which are Fundament, P1 and Morningstar. And we see a lot of how should I phrase this carefully, a lot of boundaries to get over to get it established as a viable option on other platforms. I wonder how much conflict of interest might play a part. It's something I've been writing something about this week, because obviously we know a lot of platform providers have their own investment solutions, and I'm not accusing anyone of anything, but we all have conflicts of interest in our business, and whenever I read a conflicts of interest policy, that is not one it picks up on. It says about conflict between clients. Conflict
of interest. Can I come back on you on that? Because the other three attributes that you, of the three you identified, is they're all relatively new entrants.
Yeah, Morningstar's premium, of course, so it's been around for a while, but yeah, very technically swift to do things. And we fully realise that it is never quite as simple as we might think to put what we think is a very simple proposition, the tech behind it, and I'm no technician by a long way. There are a lot of things which are knock-on effects which we wouldn't be aware of. But of course, like all relatively new entrants, the challenge is getting the egg and the chicken in the right order, or the other way around, who knows? Because to get on platforms and to get anywhere near the top of a prioritization queue for any tech enhancement takes serious assets. And as a new entrant, it's quite hard to get it. If you go to someone and say, could you do this for us? The first question is, how much money are you bringing to us? And the only possible to that answer to that is, I don't know, but we're hopeful. So it seems very hard to break into it, as break the, I'd use the word lightly, cartel. It's not quite what I mean.
I think the other side from that is, if you look at it from the platform's perspective, and I remember, I'm not going to name which platform it was, but I remember having conversations with one particular platform, this is about 10 years ago, and I think they had, it was pushing a four-figure number of funds on their platform that had no money in them. And the amount it was costing them. And never mind, again, I know from other work, there's a lot of conversation about integrations and advisors asking for lots of integrations between lots of different systems. Historically, again, I'm not going to say which life company it was, but I remember conversations a few years ago with a life company that was saying there are only actually two integrations that gave them a return on building the integration because it cost them 50 grand a year to maintain.
Yeah.
So I think it may be, maybe there's a way of looking at things that is more a conversation, right? Okay, we want to go on your platform. We understand that's going to incur costs for you. How do we make that economically viable as part of an investment so that they can take them forward?
And it's very difficult. Yeah, we totally get that. The Arrows and Model Portfolios, the funds we use are all extremely large index funds. So I suspect all of the funds themselves that we use would have assets in them, or vast majority, I would have thought. They're all iShares. So
that's probably a good point for me to bring Richard Goffin, who's just made a good point on that in the chat. Richard, would you care to expand?
Yeah, I was just saying, we have had conversations where there have been platform providers where actually we've, for whatever reason, been quite keen to use them. And we have a discussion with them and they say, yeah, it's fine. How much are you going to give us? I said, I've got a case to give you. So now we want 20 million or 30 million pounds in the next 12 or 18 months. And we say, well, that's the end of the conversation then. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Totally. And I genuinely don't understand how. I can understand why they want it from their point of view, but I fundamentally do not understand how anybody can commit to that and then maintain an independent stance. Mm-hmm. I know we got a lot of money on Translate, but we still do it client by client. We're not committed to in any way, shape or form. And indeed, we've had a conversation with Transact and said, this carries on, we're moving everything. We won't give you any more business. Because we've had times where admin's been horrific. But I struggle with that. So that's the end of conversation. And there's been lots of talks about BDMs. I talked about BDMs and stuff. And I speak, having been a broker consultant for a life office, we were all much better in my day. They are horrendous. And if any company phones me up the fifth time, oh, I'm your new consultant, tell me about your business. And I say, so you don't keep any notes then? Where are your meeting notes from your predecessors? Oh, I don't have any. Bye. I've got better things to do than telling you about my business again.